Today on Real Radio.
It says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare. And he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Very quickly, his word is reality. How do we know this? When God spoke to Jonah, Jonah knew God, and Jonah knew God's word. He's a prophet that came rather late in the prophetic scene of the Old Testament. You know that? Much of the Old Testament scriptures were available for Jonah to read. He knew the Psalms. There's a lot of Old Testament scripture available to him as a Jewish prophet. He knows God. What does he do?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, and we'll be hearing the end of one of its presentations called Hearing the Word of God. This account is literal, yet there are many lessons to be learned when we stand back and look at the big picture. You see, Jonah is in some ways representative of all of us, because left to our own devices, we tend to run from our Maker instead of toward Him. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When God speaks to His people, He says, Jack! And it's, yes, I recognize that name. I recognize that voice. I recognize the tone. It's amazing. We've seen animals in the world, you know, in this nature programs where they got all these little donkeys running around, you know, and all they're all running loose out in the desert southwest, all these donkeys and these little, they're not puppies. What are they? A little baby donkey? Is a colt or whatever they're called? Little donkey. And the little donkey, all the moms are going, ah, you know, and they're doing their thing. And then the one mama goes, ah, and that little donkey thing runs right to it. Why didn't he run to any others? He knows his mama's voice. I think God shows us these things in nature for us. You know, it just blows my mind. I'm way off track, but I'm just going to keep going. Want to do this. Love nature. The golden plover. How does the golden plover, that's born in Alaska, it's hatched in Alaska in the summer. Then fall begins to come. And in fall, the mom and dad go, we're out of here. We're going on vacation. The mom and dad leave it in Alaska, and the mom and dad fly to Hawaii in the fall. I'm not joking. The baby's all alone. Then the baby realizes, I'm alone. This is not a good thing. The baby leaves the nest, begins to fly around. Guess what it does? It flies to Hawaii. Has it ever been to Hawaii before? There was no map found in the nest. How does that bird know to get to Hawaii? How many times does evolution have to get that one right before it gets it right? It's impossible. It's the hand of God. If a little bird can leave Alaska for the first time and fly to a speck in the middle of the Pacific, the most remote islands on the face of the earth, Hawaiian Islands. How does he find it? God. When God speaks to his people hear. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. It's a divine thing. Second thing we see this morning is this. Look at verse 2. Hearing the word of God, we hear the cry of God. The cry of God's word comes to us. When God wants to cry out, watch what happens. It says in verse 2, arise. This is the cry of God. Arise, he says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The cry of God's word. Number one, we should present ourselves to the Lord. When God calls us, my friend, we are not to argue with him. We're not to bicker with him. We are to obey him. We should present ourselves. Here is Jonah professing to, in our modern day context, be a Christian. And Jonah was a believer. He was a believer. He was a prophet. God says, arise. The word in Hebrew means to stand up. I'm going to give you a command. So stand up. It's like receive the order. So Jonah, being the prophet that he is, stands up. Every Christian is to stand up when God speaks, when God cries out. We're to be ready. We are to say, before he even says anything, yes, Lord. Isn't that how we do it in the military? Private first class pile. Yes, sir. You know? He starts out with a yes. Aye, aye, Captain. What is it? It's a yes. What is it? It means he hasn't even asked yet, and they're ready to do it. You know, an order is to give instruction. It's not the command to do. When you're in the military, when you're under authority, when you're under an oath, the order is to give instruction. Why? You don't sit around and vote. If I don't know, the admiral said to turn the ship, but I don't know. The order's to turn the ship. You turn the ship. Why? You're already under command. That's why you say, aye, aye, Captain. Then he says, turn the ship as you wish. And the ship turns. The Christian's to arise and say, aye, aye, Captain. And he says, go to Nineveh. Aye, aye, Captain. The command to go. He says, arise. Yes, sir, God. What is it? Jonah would say. Go to Nineveh. So the first thing is you present yourself. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, Joshua brought the children of Israel, and they presented themselves to the Lord. And then, by the way, they went forward. Christian, have you presented yourself to the Lord? Or do you need to renew that commitment of presenting yourself to the Lord? Romans chapter 12 says to present ourselves unto God a living sacrifice. Boy, aren't you glad for that? Well, you might say, well, Jack, how do I present myself? I love that word present. Yeah, if you look it up in your dictionary or on your computer dictionary, it's going to tell you a couple things. Number one, there is the verb to present yourself. Romans chapter 1. Stand still to take the order, right? Present yourself. Arise and go. Arise. Present yourself, Jonah. But the noun form is what? A gift. Present. Ooh, I like that. See, what it means is, Lord, here I am. I am present. I present a present. What's the present? Me. God, me. What? Isaiah said it in chapter 6. Here I am, Lord. What? Send me. I present myself, God, and I am a present to your will. What do you want to do? I'm a present. You didn't think I was, huh, by looking at me? You don't think so, but God thinks I'm a present. To have his will done. So I want to make sure that I'm presenting myself to him. So Christian, in all that you do, and all that I do, are we presenting the present before the Lord, which is us? Another thing is this, is following God. He says, go to Nineveh, that we should follow him through life. God says, go. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore into all the world? Yeah, he did. Honestly, as a church, and this is the mindset of this church behind the scenes, if you don't know it or not, we don't discuss that verse in this church. We don't discuss Matthew 28, 19. Well, he said, go. What do you think go means? Let's have a council. Let's meet and discuss the meaning of it. We're not going to meet on that. No, he said go 2,000 years ago. We're going to have a meeting on where? Are you with me? Not if, where? God, where do you want us to go? You said go, go where? Then he says, I already told you, into all the world. So people will call this church and say, we want to know if you guys will come and do a missions outreach to our city or to our country. You know what our prerequisite is to go? We pray asking God to hold us back if he doesn't want us to go, because we believe he already told us to go. I said, well, how do you know if you should go to Russia or if you should go to Africa? To me, it doesn't matter. You want to know why? There's lost people in Africa and in Russia. So it's God, we're going to go until you shut the door. And when you shut it, we'll wait to hear from you. Where to go? That's following him, going after him. Go to Nineveh. These were wicked people, as we've already learned, unbelievably wicked. But God has given his word to the world. And he's going to use us to put forth that word. And the person that's in here today saying, he's not going to use me. Yeah, he is. Now watch the practicality and the application of this. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Great. Are you committed to God's will? Yes, God's will. All right, present yourself. Huh? Why? Because you just answered those other two questions. Stand up. Why? What's going to happen? And here's where we freak. Why? What? And we get all paranoid about it. Start to panic. Did you know that through you and I, God wants to take this message that Corinthians says is in earthen vessels and present it to the world. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. I'm going to say it as clear as I can. But will you stop for a moment and check and see what God has done for you in your life? You should write those things down. You want to know why? Have you traveled around the world? You should look around the world. And you should go and ask and look and see, of what has the gods of the Hindus ever done for a Hindu? Well, say, Pastor, I don't know if you should talk like that. You know what? Break out of your little bubble. Because there's people in parts of the world who, if a cow starts to urinate, they dive under it, hoping that they'll have some sort of a divine now covering, or they'll drink that urine. So don't tell me I shouldn't say things like that. Jesus Christ came to liberate people from their darkness. God is not concerned about politics. Jesus died on the cross so people could see. Jesus rose from the dead so mankind might be saved. And I, as a believer, I'm going to heaven. And how dare I go to heaven if there's a person next to me diving under the urine of an animal to hope that God will somehow accept this offering of coverage when Jesus gave his blood? I don't care about being politically correct. God is theologically correct. Go to those countries and find out what has the God of the Hindus done for the Hindu. My heart breaks for them. I love them. You look at what the world is like in countries where Buddha is God. Look what Buddha has done for them. What has he done for them? Go to the countries right now, especially now in the news and in the world, where the moon god, you know who the moon god is? The moon god, the crescent moon god, ancient Babylonian god by the name of Allah. Ask yourself, look on the map, turn on your TV, ask yourself, what has Allah done for the Muslim people of the world? They war and fight against each other. And when they're done warring against each other, they go after other countries and other peoples. And then look at the God of the Bible. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. He says, I've come to take away that which what the robber has done and give you abounding life, overflowing life. God says he wants us to be presented before him living sacrifices, not kamikaze sacrifices, not suicidal sacrifices. This stuff can't be talked about anymore. These kinds of things will be shut down by state or government legislation in the not too distant future. Because you'll write me a note, which is illogical from the beginning, that I'm not tolerant. Stand before the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago and condemn him of being intolerant, because him on the cross was, as he said, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. He's not somebody to fight with. He's somebody to embrace and find freedom with. But the world is strangling, they think, the gospel, which gives us this cry that we should speak forth his words. Jonah, go. There are lost and wicked people, absolutely, but cry out to them. Yes, it's cry out against them. But hear this, cry out. The word in Hebrew means to bring about an encounter. Jonah, I want to use you to get them to think about me. Cry out, an intentional act to cause or to bring about thought. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas came up to him. And what did Jesus say? He went up, Jesus embraces Judas and says, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? Why is that recorded in your Bible? Do you know that if Judas would have said and believed, Jesus, I am betraying you with a kiss. God, forgive me. Forgive me, I've sinned. There would have been a different story regarding Judas's life. Oh, Jesus would have went to the cross. He would have died for our sins. But God, who knows all before time ever began, knew how to write the book. But he never violated Judas's will, ever. What if Judas would have turned? Isn't it an act of mercy and grace when Jesus leans and says, is it with a kiss you betray the Son of Man? When God convicts, he wants to convict us to bring us around, not to hold us down underwater until we're dead. Third and final point, we'll be done with this. Verse 3, the hearing of the word of God, the constancy of God's word. It's tenacious. It's nonstop. It's enduring. The constancy of God's word. It says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare. And he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Very quickly, his word is reality. How do we know this? When God spoke to Jonah, Jonah knew God and Jonah knew God's word. He's a prophet that came rather late in the prophetic scene of the Old Testament. You know that? Much of the Old Testament scriptures were available for Jonah to read. He knew the Psalms. There's a lot of Old Testament scripture available to him as a Jewish prophet. He knows God. What does he do? He takes the fact, the reality of God, and he's going to try to hightail it out of there. Number one, the word of God is reality. That's why Jonah was fighting it. That's why people fight it today. The word of God is so real that even the, quote, non-believer will fight God's word because it's so real. Jonah is trying to fight. His struggle is with the reality of God and his word. And so he runs. Isn't it funny how he runs? He runs. We run. Why do we run? We're often afraid of what God wants. Maybe that's why we might run. We might run because we think we know better than God. That's kind of a hard one, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we're just flat out not willing. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with a sense of inadequacy. That's our problem. Those things were not Jonah's problem. Jonah's problem was he didn't want the Ninevites saved. He hated them so much. Let those bums burn was his idea. It's a struggle because it's real, the reality of God's word. We cannot escape God's presence. It says that he found a ship to go to Tarshish. Remember that? 2,000 miles away, he's going to try to head to the southern tip of Spain, the outpost of the known world, thinking that God would somehow not be. That he's going to escape the presence of God. Hugh Martin, in his old commentary, puts it this way, and listen carefully to this. Jonah, he says, was seeking to divorce himself from God. He says, for whenever a person stays away from Bible, stays away from prayer, stays away from fellowship, that person begins his divorce with God. And left unchecked, that person will do his best to flee from an imaginary thought to escape from the presence of God. Because in his divorce of God, in his mind, he gets so distant in feeling perception from God that God is not where he is. And he begins to create a false reality. It's called denial. He went on to say in his book that this is exactly the same pattern between a husband and wife when divorce creeps in. They separate time from each other. They're no longer communicating. They're no longer fellowshipping. And so they wake up one day having justified the position, I am going away. And he says, why is that? How can that be? Because they have justified the distance. We don't have anything in common anymore. Jonah has nothing in common with God anymore. He has divorced himself from God, just like two people divorcing themselves from each other. No more word, no more prayer. Jonah's prayer time, by the way, doesn't begin until he gets into the belly of the fish. But we cannot escape the presence of God. And then finally, we end right here, we're done. We will never forget God's truth. He says there, verse 3, that he did this to flee from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that something? You can't flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah had access, probably knew Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and thy lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is nothing, or there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, that's another name for hell. Behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand uphold me. Where are you going to go? You can't go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Hearing the Word of God. It's a study taken from our teacher's series on Jonah, and an examination into how we ought to respond when our Maker communicates with us. We'll hear more in this series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, in the few minutes we have left on today's edition of Real Radio, we'd like to remind you that we're still making available to you the 2-DVD set called Islam in America. The first DVD features Pastor Jack addressing the alarming rate in which this false religion is influencing our society, right here in the U.S., and the way it's on the increase exponentially in our schools, our government, and other areas of public and private life. It's a new, more frightening world we now live in, and we are far more vulnerable than many realize. Of course, there's too much to go into right here, but the second of these two DVDs features Brigitte Gabriel, author of the book Because They Hate, and a survivor of Islamic terrorism in her own native Lebanon. Now, here's our offer. For your gift of any amount, all of which goes toward covering the costs of bringing you this broadcast each day, we'll send you the 2-DVD set called Islam in America. Here's our number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, www.realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, write to us. Send your contribution and mention the title, Islam in America, to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, if you missed any of these details, you can always find them at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.